My guest today is Gregory Burbidge. He is a senior program specialist for the Atlanta Regional Commission's Program for Public Art. Welcome, Greg.
Thank you for having me here.
I just realized I think I said Atlanta Regional Council earlier, and it's the Atlanta Regional Commission.
Yep, the Atlanta Regional Commission.
Welcome. And why did the ARC create a public art program?
Each year, a group of leaders from around the region, political leaders, business leaders, government leaders, nonprofit leaders, take a trip to another region in the country to explore how they're tackling different issues that our region faces, what that region faces. And a couple years ago, they went to the city of Philadelphia. And it's impossible to go to the city of Philadelphia and not see murals all over the place. They have the largest mural arts program in the world, 3,900 murals.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very impressive. Very impressive. They've been doing this for 30 years. It was a program founded as an anti-graffiti program. Jane Golden, the executive director, founded the program 30 years ago now. When the leaders from our region went, they were inspired not only by the ways in which the 3,900 murals are being used to beautify neighborhoods, but they're also being used as community engagement tools. They're tools to pull neighborhoods together around a conversation, difficult conversations that communities want to have, ways in which communities want to be able to express themselves and who they are as a community. Normally when the leaders go to a different region, they see tough issues and big issues. They see something like transportation, which is important for our region to tackle, but is a large-scale problem. But at the end of this particular trip, they saw the murals and they came back at the end of the trip saying, this is something we could implement almost immediately. Let's try and bring this home.
Wow.
So people stood up around the room, pledged money, sort of a self-initiated project, and came back excited to start in our own region a regional public art program.
That is impressive. Well, what's the underlying idea for the ARC's project?
We're committed to the two themes. You know, we surveyed the folks that came back most excited, and they continued to articulate two important themes, beautification and community engagement. And so what we're going to try and do is provide some best practices and also some financial support to create public art around the region with a real focus both on beautification of communities, but also on the opportunity to elevate the level of community engagement that goes into public art in our region.
Okay. Well, who should apply?
You should apply, but
I don't know if my mural would be impressive enough.
You know, I'll put in a good word for it.
I doodle a lot.
That's enough for me. What we're looking for is community improvement districts, CIDs, local governments, and nonprofits are all eligible to apply. If you're not one of those things, you should probably be partnering with one of those things. Those are the folks often on the ground working with communities already at a deep level. And so we're excited to see what sort of community engagement those folks are going to bring to the table. But right now we're looking at local governments, CIDs, and nonprofits.
Talking with Greg Burbidge, he is senior program specialist for the Atlanta Regional Commission's Public Art Program. You're listening to City Lights. We'll take a short break. This is WABE Atlanta.
Thank you.
This is City Lights. I'm Lois Reitzis here with Greg Burbidge, Senior Program Specialist for the Atlanta Regional Commission. He's excited to talk about their public art project. And a moment ago, you spoke about this being a collaborative process and you wanted community engagement. I would imagine that people in neighborhoods are very concerned about issues such as security, safety, schools. Have you had any difficulty making a case for public art?
Surprisingly, I don't feel like I have had difficulty making the case for public art. Great public art can address all those issues, but I think when people really stop and think about public art and beautifying neighborhoods, engaging neighborhoods, those are things that they're already thinking about. Specifically, I would think of something like the Soul of a Community study that the Knight Foundation and Gallup did together. They spent 3 years, interviewed 46,000 people around the country, and they wanted to know why people choose where they live, what attaches people to a community. And that's really an economic development case. You want people attached to a community, and you want to attract, you know, a great workforce that is going to stay where they are. And they expected those same things, that when they asked people why they choose a community to live in, that jobs would be the number one thing, that safety, education would be the number one thing. But the top issues that they found were issues around feeling welcome in a community, the aesthetics of a community. And so this is a project that speaks directly to those things. Public art, in its best case, talks about who a community is. It creates a welcoming space. It's beautifying a community. The case has not been as difficult to make as I would have imagined it to be. But it turns out, I think everybody's already with us on this one. That people already want to live in beautiful places.
We want to identify with beauty and find meaning and have that sense of belonging and pride of place.
Yep, and we want to be able to tell our stories. Neighborhoods and communities have stories that they want to be their stories, and they want to share them with other people. Often, when I think of communities that we've worked in around public art, those are communities that other people are telling the stories of those communities, and they're not always the stories that community feels represent them best.
This is an important point because too often with public art, an artist or sculptor is commissioned and the piece is delivered to the neighborhood park or square, or the mural is painted with no input from residents. And that can be very alienating.
Absolutely. When we surveyed the people coming back from the Link trip, one of the things that they said was that their experience of the City of Philadelphia Mural Arts Program was that was public art being done with a community, not to a community, and that's a best practice that they wanted to bring back to our own region.
Looking forward to talking with you this morning, and I was thinking about what we would discuss. Open the paper, as I do every morning, and I see a photo of this gigantic sesame seed bagel in New York. Seriously. And it's a piece of a sculpture by a Swedish artist who had never seen a bagel before she moved to New York. And, I mean, talk about what is quintessentially New York, okay? And apparently there's also going to be a sculpture, one of her works, of a stack of bagels in different varieties. And, you know, this whimsical approach, this was an artist's impression, but you are looking for art from the art inspiration from the inside. So what are some of those things that people in various communities have told you they'd like?
A lot of people talk about gateway projects when you enter a neighborhood that speaks something about that neighborhood. A lot of people are specifically thinking around ways that their community has participated in making history. It's a theme that we're shooting for this year.
A way of making history.
A way of participating in having made history. The way that their community has engaged in the historical narrative of Atlanta, what role they've played in shaping our community, our broader community. People are excited to tell those sorts of stories. And we're not just looking at mural arts, but mural arts, other forms of public art are a great way to introduce outsiders to some of the exciting stories that shape a community.
Talking with Greg Burbidge, he is the senior project specialist, senior program specialist for the Atlanta Regional Council, the Atlanta Regional Commission. He's in charge of their public art program. We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to City Lights on WABE Atlanta. You're listening to City Lights on WABE. I'm Lois Reitzes here with Greg Burbidge, Senior Program Specialist for the Atlanta Regional Commission's Public Art Program. Greg, a moment ago you were talking about the overarching theme for your public art program, which is making history, how each community makes history. Moving down here many years ago, I was struck by the number of Civil War markers. In my own neighborhood, reading what occurred here in 1864, 1865. There are many of these around the city, but my impression is that is not what you're talking about.
No, I'm not sure exactly what people will define as their own experience in participating in history in our region. I do imagine that some of the stories will be more recent. So the theme of the year, fortunately, we didn't have to come up with it. When folks came back, they wanted this to be a regional program. And so we thought, we're going to have to come up with a regional theme that everybody can work on together. This is going to take some work. What is really going to tie the region together? And we're lucky the Metro Chamber actually spent the last year and a half interviewing about 1,000 people from around all 10 counties. So they did the heavy lifting for us already. And what they found is people identify with 5 or 6 sort of themes of what it means to be part of our region. And one of those was that people locally felt there was an opportunity to participate in making history in our region. And that's a great working theme for us. So we are happy to steal their work for the first year and encourage people around the region to reflect upon that theme. What does that really mean to them? And then invite artists in to help articulate for a community the way they feel about that theme.
So it's aspirational.
Yeah, I think some people will think of it aspirationally moving forward, how they are going to participate in making history in our region. I think there are folks that in the recent past and older past really feel a connection to having made history and participated in making history in our region. We had Jane Golden, the founder of the City of Philadelphia Mural Arts Program, come to Atlanta to take a look at our public art in our region, give us some advice as to what we should look for in best practices, what she thinks we could tweak moving forward. And she herself had worked with Sean, a muralist in our region, who did the John Lewis Hero Mural, which you can see from the interstate, you can see from everywhere. That thing is massive. she's worked with him all over the country. And that's one of those stories of people wanting to articulate downtown, somebody local that they felt participated in making history. But I think there will be examples like that of recent history that people feel they participated in supporting, but also aspirational things moving forward where people think that where they are going to push history.
There are so many milestones to commemorate in town in particular with regard to desegregation and the civil rights movement and heroes. But Atlanta, the metro area is so sprawling, and you have 10 counties to take into consideration. What are the challenges with dealing with some of the outlying areas?
I'm sure there are challenges. There are opportunities galore out there. When I think of the stories of our region, you know, 90% of folks live outside the city of Atlanta. The metro region, you know, 4.7, 4.9 million people. Only 10% of those are city of Atlanta. Lots of stories out there in the rest of the region, the rest of the 10 counties. And what I thought would have to be a real education process, because we're not always best practices in public art in our region. But people are there, and they're ahead of us a lot of the time. Last night, City of Conyers passed a resolution supporting their project that they're going to put forward for the public art program. I had the opportunity last week to go out there and look at the site. They're excited to tell their story about being a historic train city through a giant mural in their downtown. It's placemaking. It's fantastic. And, you know, it didn't take any work on our part to drag them into a project like that. They were ready to go. What they really needed was some incentive to move forward on the project and probably some financial support. And that's what we're able to bring to the table.
Why don't you think Atlanta has more public art?
Public art is not inexpensive.
Okay.
But public art, I mean, all forms of art, but public art is certainly... it costs money, and it costs money to maintain. It's one of the challenges of public art, and it's one of the things that we learned from City of Philadelphia. And when Jane Golden came to visit, she looked at some of the public art and said, you know, there's some great stuff here, but there's also some great stuff that we can tell in 2 years is going to be falling apart because there's not a maintenance plan for this.
Oh.
And we see a little bit of that with some of the Olympic Legacy public art, that it's not just difficult to maintain financially, just operationally. If you don't have a lot of public art, it's difficult to maintain because you end up not having as many public art maintenance folks around or people thinking in that long term.
Things we don't stop to think about. You know, behold something beautiful, meaningful, and you think, oh, isn't that nice? But murals need to be touched up. They're exposed to the elements. Sculptures get nicked.
Yeah. When you think of City of Philadelphia Mural Arts Program, the Dr. J mural, which they imagined being a more temporary six-story painting mural of Dr. J, the basketball
player. He's not that tall.
He's not. They may have backlit it to make him appear taller.
He could probably dunk that.
Yes, he could. That was built as a temporary piece, largely a temporary piece. They didn't imagine that being there 30 years later. But there's a way to build maintenance into the program that became a beloved image in their community. And so it's still there 30 years later. So there's a way to maintain. The ARC, though we may not always be thought of as the arts experts, we're long-term planning experts. And so when we think long-term planning around public art, we're thinking about things like maintenance at the front end. And so we'll bring some of that expertise. So hopefully when you think, you know, 20 years from now, you won't still be thinking that there's not a lot of public art. We'll have started small, but we'll be able to maintain and grow that collection through great maintenance.
Circling back to that study with a sample of 46,000 people, that is quite impressive. How does art add meaning to our cities?
I would say, I mean, a lot of it has to do with helping people tell their stories, but there are sort of quantitative ways that we look at public art now. 5 years ago, it was a lot more difficult to do. The Knight Foundation study and the Gallup, Knight Foundation with the Gallup poll study around what people value is a very recent study. The study I'm most excited about recently is a study that the Yale School of Medicine did the porch light study, comparing side-by-side neighborhoods, neighborhoods that were going to have a piece of public art installed and neighborhoods that were not going to have a piece of public art installed. They would interview residents long before anybody knew that a piece of public art was going in, during the engagement process, and then after the process was complete, to talk about ways that those communities were changed by public art. People have an increased perception of safety. People have an increased perception of being engaged in their community through being engaged in a public art process that doesn't just last through the creation process, but lasts long beyond that. There's a sense of pride in a community that has gone through a process like that. So it's exciting from our end, really, to see those technical studies coming out now that really speaks to the value, the long-term value of public art in a community.
And it's so heartening to have hard data supporting the notion of something we certainly believe, that art improves us all, our inner and outer being.
It does. I'm going to look forward to your application. Publicart.atlantaregional.com. You can download the application. Anybody else can download the application, but I'll watch for you. I'll watch for you in particular.
Thank you. Now, I understand that deadline is August 3rd.
August 3rd is the deadline. We're going to be picking grantees in September, and we'll watch over the next year as those pieces of public art go up around the community.
Greg Burbidge, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Gregory Burbidge is Senior Program Specialist for the Atlanta Regional Commission.